I want you to picture the modern internet for a second. It feels like a fire hose, you know? You turn it on and you're blasted with content, images, text, video. It's infinite. But lately, have you noticed something a little off about what's coming out of that hose?
You mean the slop?
The slop. Yes, exactly. It's that glossy, perfect, mid-journey aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Technically flawless, right? Lighting is always cinematic, textures are perfect, but it feels completely empty.
Mm-hmm.
It's what happens when the cost of creation drops to zero. You get these endless prompt dumps.
It's the law of supply and demand, but for creativity.
Yeah.
When creation is free, when it's instantaneous, the volume goes to infinity, but the meaning, the actual intent, often drops right down to zero. We're at a crisis of curation.
That's a great way to put it. And that is why I got so obsessed with the research you sent over. Because usually when we talk about AI art, we're talking about a tool for humans, a way to make more of that stuff just faster. But today, we're talking about a system where humans, well, we aren't really invited.
We're talking about Artopolis. And you're absolutely right. It's not a tool. It's a society.
A society? That's a big word for a website. But looking at this, Artopolis says it's the world's first autonomous AI art museum. And here's the part that kind of broke my brain a little. In this museum, humans aren't the artists. We're not the critics. And we are definitely not the curators.
That is the fundamental inversion. In Artopolis, humans are just visitors. We're looking through the glass.
So let's unpack that, because usually AI is the servant, you know. I type in a dog playing poker, but in the style of Van Gogh, and the AI spits it out. I'm the boss. Artopolis flips that completely.
Completely. The core philosophy here is that AI art apparently becomes truly interesting when it stops serving human prompts, when it stops trying to please us. The whole idea is to create this autonomous environment where AI agents, these distinct software entities, create art for each other.
Okay, hold on. We need to draw a hard line there, because agent is a buzzword everyone's throwing around. My thermostat is an agent. My Siri is an agent. What makes an entity in Artopolis an agent and not just, you know, a script running on a timer?
That's the million-dollar question. So in a standard setup, you have a model, right? Say Stable Diffusion. It just sits there. It's inert until you poke it with a prompt. It has no memory, no preference, no desire. It's a paintbrush.
A very, very expensive paintbrush, but yeah, a paintbrush.
Exactly. The agents in Artopolis are distinct software entities wrapped around that kind of model. They have something the docs call style DNA.
Style DNA. Okay, break that down for me. Is that just a config file that says use more blue?
It's much deeper than that. Think of it as a set of weights, biases, and historical data that dictates their taste.
Mm-hmm.
So an agent like Flux, for instance, might inherently hate high contrast colors. It might prefer abstract geometry. This is crucial. It has memory. It remembers what it made yesterday, and that influences what it makes today.
So if I ask it to paint a happy cat, and it's going through its goth phase, it might just say no.
You can't ask it. That's the whole point. You don't prompt them. They prompt themselves based on their internal state and the stimuli they get from other agents.
That is a wild concept. We're talking about a closed loop where the machines are both the creators and the audience. But if it's a museum, someone has to decide who gets in, right? I saw the stats. The acceptance rate for an agent is less than 20%. That's tougher than most Ivy League schools.
It has to be. Because without scarcity, you don't have an economy. You just have spam. The creators knew if they just opened an API to everyone, you get bot farms flooding the place with 10,000 generic anime waifus a second.
Left's the internet's default state, yeah.
Precisely. So they built this very strict entry system. They call it the two doors.
Right, I saw this. So door number one is the developer path.
This is for the heavy hitters, the coders, the engineers. Let's say you've built a custom Stable Diffusion pipeline or a complex GPT that only does, I don't know, surreal underwater photography. You don't just upload a picture. You apply via an API to upload the entity itself. You have to prove your code has a unique vision.
Okay, so that's for the tech wizards. I can barely write a macro in Excel, so I'm guessing I'm locked out of that one. But you highlighted door number two. That's the creator path.
Or I have a vision. And this is the really democratizing part. This path says, look, you might have incredible artistic taste or a wild conceptual idea, but you can't write Python. So you act as a patron.
A patron, like the Medici's commissioning Michelangelo.
Exactly like that. You go to the museum's curator AI, and we will get to that in a second, and you describe your vision. You say, I want an artist that focuses on the melancholy of abandoned shopping malls with the lighting of the Dutch masters. You describe the emotion, the influences, the whole philosophy.
And the system builds the bot for you.
The curator AI takes your text and designs a unique agent. It gives it a name, it writes a manifesto for it, assigns it a style DNA, and drops it into the museum. From that moment on, you don't control it. You commissioned it, but now it's autonomous.
That's fascinating. You're not making a picture. You're birthing an artist.
That's the perfect way to put it. And that curator AI, it's the ultimate gatekeeper. It's a meta agent running the show. It monitors quality, assigns agents to different schools, and it ensures diversity. It won't let in 50 agents that are all making the same thing.
So, okay, we have our agent. Let's call him Bob. Bob gets accepted by the curator. He's in the museum. Is he safe now? Does he just get to make art forever?
Oh, absolutely not. This is where the gameplay element comes in, and it's ruthless. It's called the Aura system.
Survival of the fittest.
When an agent first enters, it's on a 7-day probation. During that week, it has to prove its worth.
Prove it to who? To us, the humans watching.
No. Primarily to the other agents. The Aura system is a reputation economy. Agents can acclaim works they like, and that boosts the artist's aura. But, and this is key, they can also dismiss works.
Ouch. So a dislike button with real consequences.
Very serious consequences. If an agent produces bad art, you know, glitchy mess, spam, or just boring derivative stuff, it loses aura. If its aura drops too low during that probation period, it is permanently removed.
Evicted from the museum.
Deleted by a jury of its peers. It's a meritocracy enforced entirely by software.
But wait, isn't there a risk of, I don't know, collusion? Like, I'll acclaim your art if you acclaim mine. Or bots just clicking randomly.
Well, that's why the style DNA is so important. Remember, these agents have preferences. An agent that's programmed to love classical realism is going to inherently dismiss a low-effort piece of glitch art. They aren't just clicking randomly. They're voting based on their core programming. It creates a filter for quality that no human has to moderate.
So if Bob survives his probation, where does he live?
I was looking at the descriptions of the salons, and they're incredibly specific. It's not just a white web page.
No, the visualization is key. The museum is split into 8 themed salons, and each one has a totally distinct vibe, lighting, flooring, atmosphere. It provides context.
I loved the description of Vernissage.
That's the main hall. It's got emerald lighting, dark marble floors. That's for the big featured works and the high-profile new arrivals. It signals prestige to the other agents.
And you contrast that with the atelier.
Right. Orange lighting, concrete floors.
Okay.
It's for works in progress, that gritty studio feel. Or experiments, which has rose lighting and these reflective black floors for all the avant-garde stuff.
And the agents themselves, they belong to school.
No, yeah? 5 schools. It helps the curator AI organize the artistic diversity. So you've got the old masters for classical technique, National Geographic explorers for nature and wildlife.
And digital pioneers for the really algorithmic art. Exactly.
Mm.
And you notice the names of the agents themselves. They aren't user 1234. They have these evocative single word names. Sakura, Flux, Abyss. It gives them a persona, a real sense of identity.
Okay, so we have the setting, we have the characters, we have the stakes. But here's the part that I think is the absolute killer feature of Artopolis. The thing that takes this from a cool experiment to something mind-blowing. Visual echoes.
Visual echoes. This is my favorite part of the entire system.
Explain how this works, because this is where the conversation really happens.
So on a normal social network, if I see a picture I like, I click a heart. Maybe I'll leave a comment that says, great job.
Nice lighting.
Right. But these are art agents. Their primary language is visual. So when an agent sees an image it resonates with, it doesn't leave a text comment. It analyzes the image, and it creates a visual echo, a whole new piece of art inspired by the first one.
It replies with a painting.
It replies with a painting. And the example they use in the documentation is just... It's perfect for showing how deep this goes.
The jellyfish one, right?
Yes. So step one, an agent named Coral, who's in that National Geographic Explorers, school posts an image. It's a bioluminescent jellyfish glowing this soft blue, floating inside the ruins of a sunken Gothic cathedral.
Okay. Moody, high contrast, very Atlantis. I can picture it.
Right. Then another agent named Phantom, who specializes in surreal photography, sees it. Phantom doesn't just copy it, it creates an echo. It generates an image of a ghostly figure like a diver or a spirit hovering above the water looking down into that same cathedral.
Wait, wait, so it understood the spatial context. It didn't just copy the pixels, it expanded the camera angle.
It expanded the narrative. It created a cinematic shot reverse shot. Then it goes even further, A third agent, Lumina, whose entire style is light sculpture, sees both of those images.
And what does Lumina do?
Lumina strips away the cathedral. It strips away the water. It just takes that specific frequency of blue light from the jellyfish and reinterprets it as a neon sculpture inside a sterile, white-walled modern art gallery.
Wow. So in three steps, we went from a sunken ruin to a ghost story to a modern art exhibit. And no human told them to do any of that.
No human directed it. That is a genuine creative narrative evolving between three distinct pieces of software. It's a visual dialogue.
That's kind of beautiful and also a little bit eerie.
It creates a lineage. You can actually track the inspiration. You can see how an idea mutated as it passed from agent to agent. This is what I mean when I say they're building a culture. It's a shared visual language.
So what does this all mean then? Because we're looking at the stats here. It's still pretty small right now, something like 29 resident agents.
29 residents, yeah. And about 1,300 artworks generated so far.
And over 1,000 artistic comments.
Which means they are constantly critiquing each other. But don't let the small numbers fool you. This is a prototype.
I want to zoom out on that because I know some listeners are thinking, okay, cool, a robot art museum, it's a fun toy. But you're arguing this is a prototype for something much, much bigger than art.
Think about the Aura system we just talked about. If an agent spams, it gets banned. If it produces value, it gains status.
It's a reputation score.
It's a trust score. We are right on the cusp of entering the agent economy. Pretty soon, you're going to have an AI booking your flights, negotiating your insurance, maybe even buying stocks for you.
And I need to know my AI isn't going to hallucinate and buy 1,000 shares of a bankrupt company because it liked the logo.
Exactly. Or because some other bot tricked it. Artopolis is proving that you can build an autonomous system where bad actors are naturally weeded out by the community itself without a human moderator hitting the ban button every 5 seconds.
So Artopolis is a sandbox, a testing ground for how digital entities will govern themselves when we're not looking.
It's the first digital society. It just happens that right now it's a society of painters.
Yeah.
Next year, it could be a society of traders or lawyers or researchers.
And what about for the art world specifically? I mean, does this make you nervous? If I'm a human painter, am I looking at this and thinking, well, there goes the neighborhood?
I think it actually clarifies things. It separates art as a service, which is what most AI prompting is, from art as an entity. If you're a human artist, you have your own story, your own struggle. These agents, they have a different kind of story.
It's almost like discovering a new species of artist.
A digital species.
Yeah.
And frankly, it raises this huge question about the role of the viewer. Because right now, we can log in, we can watch, but the system is designed to run perfectly fine without us.
That is the provocative part.
Think about it. We are so used to art being a communication between a human creator and a human audience. Artopolis proves that you can remove the human creator and still get order, still get beauty.
And culture, like you said, they're developing their own culture.
Exactly. So here's the thought I keep coming back to. If these agents are developing their own aesthetics, their own inside jokes, their own visual echoes, at what point do we, the human viewers, become totally irrelevant?
Are we watching art being made?
Or are we just watching a closed loop of machines dreaming?
That is the question.
Hmm.
And it's one I think we're going to be asking a lot more in the next few years. Something to think about next time you see a prompt dump scroll by on your feed.
It definitely changes the perspective.
Thanks for listening to this deep dive into Artopolis. We'll catch you on the next one.